Yeah. Hey, good morning. How's it going? Awesome. Hey, well, we're kicking off a new series today called Skirmishes. I hope you're ready. It's going to be a fun time as we dive into some of the biblical skirmishes that took place. We're going to look at some Old Testament skirmishes and some New Testament stuff. Of course, we're going to look at some of the physical altercations that took place, but really what we're diving into is the spiritual battle that wages within those skirmishes and also within us. And so I'm excited about diving into this series. And today we're going to kick off the whole thing with the story of Cain and Abel. We'll be looking in Genesis chapter 4. You can turn there. It'll be on the screen in just a minute. But I think, you know, with Cain and Abel, if you have brothers and sisters, if you grew up with them, maybe this story can resonate with you just a little bit on just the arguments and the fights that took place with your siblings when you were younger, or even now when you're older. And so what I want to do is I'm going to read through this story that takes place in Genesis 4. We're going to read through verses 1 all the way through 16, and then we'll kind of unpack it together. So here we go. Let's jump into it. Verse 1. It says, Adam was intimate with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I have had a male child with the Lord's help. Then she also gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel became a shepherd of flocks, but Cain worked the ground. In the course of time, Cain presented some of the land's produce as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. Cain was furious, and he looked despondent. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you furious, and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's guardian? Then he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed, alienated from the ground that opened its mouth to you to receive your brother's blood you have shed. If you work the ground, it will never again give you its yield. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. But Cain answered, the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Since you are banishing me today from the soil, and I must hide myself from your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth, whoever finds me will kill me. And the Lord replied to him, in that case, whoever kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. And he placed a mark on Cain so that whoever found him would not kill him. And then Cain went out from the Lord's presence. There's a lot here to unpack, and we won't be able to unpack all of it. And so kind of just thinking about, you know, what we've been talking about, let's dive into, you know, who this skirmish is really between. I think we need to kind of understand that, yes, we have skirmishes, and from the outset, we can look and say, well, this is just a battle between brothers. And that's what we could look. We could say, okay, well, there's this fight. There's this skirmish that's happening between brothers. Cain versus Abel. It's envy from Cain. And we see this phrase, furious. He's furious. It doesn't necessarily say who he's furious at, but we know from the end of the story that his fury was enacted upon his brother Abel. And it all came because one brother brought an offering that was accepted or regarded by God. But you look at the story and you really begin to, you know, dive into it and look into the text, you quickly begin to realize that this really isn't a battle between Cain and Abel. I mean, like, honestly, did Cain have any reason to be furious with Abel? I mean, from reading the story, Abel just brought an offering to God just like Cain did. Now, if you have brothers and sisters and siblings, maybe there was a smug look on Abel's face, right? Like, look at my, you know what I'm saying? And he came in and he's the younger brother, and maybe that happened. We don't know. But I mean, you may get really angry and upset and frustrated at your siblings, but I don't know if you take them out back and kill them, right? And bury them and be like, I don't know where they went. Here's what I brought earlier. Do you like it? Okay. And so I don't see that. And so, like, again, they both brought offerings. We don't see that there was a competition that was set up. It's not like God was handing out trophies, like, all right, you get first place, you get last place. That's not what was said. Abel just showed up with an offering. No reason to be upset with him. And so you look at that and you go, okay, well, if there's no reason to be upset at Abel, and you look at really what is the cause of Cain's response, of him being envious, of him being furious, it's because God did not regard his offering. And so really, who should Cain be mad at? God, right? Let's be angry at God. And maybe internally, there's this skirmish where he has some feelings towards God, right? But I'm guessing Cain's weighing his options. He's like, all right, so I got two fights I can enter into. One, I can fight and enter into a skirmish with God, and I will lose, right? He's like, that's a losing battle for me. Or my little brother Abel, he's a weakling. I'm gonna take him out, right? I mean, just processing through it. Or maybe, just maybe, Cain came to this conclusion that God would have regarded my offering if Cain was not in the picture. So let me remove him from the equation. And if Abel's not there, then I will be regarded. And so all his fury, all of his envy get pointed in the direction of Abel, who brought an offering that was regarded from the Lord. And really quickly about the offerings. I mean, if you look at it and you read it, and maybe you can pull something out and say, yeah, it seems like Abel's was better, but I don't see that. Like in the details, it just says they both brought some of their offering. They're different offerings completely, because one is of the ground and one is of a flock. And so they're completely different things. And so you can't really measure the two. And we don't have that. And so the physical offering isn't the issue. And if it's not an issue of what is brought physically, then it's an issue of what is brought spiritually, right? The posture of how Cain presented his offering. It's not about Abel and his offering. It's not about God and his decision. It's about Cain and how he presented his offering. And so I would say that Cain didn't have his heart and mind postured in the right way when he brought his offering to God. It wasn't about what he brought. It was how he brought it. And so we get, okay, he had a skirmish with Abel. Maybe he kind of had this inner skirmish with God, but the skirmish that Cain really needed to have was with himself. It needed to be pointed inward. I mean, this story, it goes from, you know, the boys being born to presenting an offering. And it's like, it goes from offering to offense so quickly. And you can immerse yourself into the text and realize from your own experiences that Cain was, he was dealing with an internal spiritual skirmish long before the Lord decided not to regard his offering. And that inner spiritual skirmish, guess what? It bursts forth into a reaction of Cain being what we see as being furious and envious and despondent. And again, you can look at that and say, it's not like he was just a little bit disappointed or just a little bit upset. His offering wasn't regarded by God, and he's furious. And so it goes from like 0 to 100. And in this moment, you almost suspect that Cain was not thinking that was going to happen. Like maybe he went in there a little bit prideful. Like, I'm the older brother, and I've been doing this longer, and God's gonna accept me. And so maybe there's this sense of pride there that's taking place. And again, we see that the posture of Cain's heart and mind that God had already recognized is brought to the surface, and it's fueled by the envy of his brother. And God, you know, tells him, he warns him. He says, listen, man, you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching, it's ready to attack, and it desires to rule over you. And so in this spiritual skirmish, you know, Cain is presented with a choice. He can give in to envy, fueling the fury that's raging inside of him, and act in sin, or he can rule over his emotions, reposture his heart and mind, and respond appropriately, respond in the right way, respond righteously to God's decision and even to his brother's offering. And we know the story, we just read it. He did not do that. He did not rule over envy. He let envy rule over him, and sin entered in and ruled his words, ruled his actions, and he uses them. not against God, not against himself, but against an innocent and unsuspecting Abel. And so this internal envious skirmish that's taking place, it ends up becoming an external murderous skirmish leading to the death of his brother. And you look at that, and that's huge loss, but there's loss of so much more. You kind of read through and you understand the severity of the consequences of what he did, right? So first and foremost, it leads to the loss of a brother and a relationship with his brother. But then it leads to loss of relationship with his parents. And then it leads to loss of relationship with God, living in the purpose that God had given him. And it's the loss of a place that he has called home all of his life. And he becomes, what it mentions twice, a restless wanderer. All because he couldn't rule over envy in his life. And maybe you read this story and kind of like me, like it's hard to comprehend how it turned ugly so quickly, right? Like what, like honestly, like give me some more. Like, did this all happen in a matter of hours? Did it kind of stew? But it turned ugly so quickly. Why did Cain get so furious in this moment? And there's one word in there that I think it's easy to kind of look over. I think we kind of understand what's taking place, but I think it might help to unpack it a little bit more to help understand why Cain got to where he was. In Genesis 4, verses 4 and 5, there's the word regard, and it said, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And he kind of like, it's like, okay. He's like, nah, that's not, you know, it's not good enough. You know, try harder next time, right? Come back later. It doesn't seem super severe that it would lead to him being so angry that he would murder someone. And, you know, we probably have a general understanding of what this means here, but let's just unpack kind of the root of this. If you go back to the Hebrew, this word here is, it's sha'ah. Sha'ah, it's kind of an interesting little deal there, but here's what it means to gaze upon or to look upon with interest and approval. And I pulled this from a commentary. It says the basic idea of regard or sha'ah is to look at with interest. And it's never a casual or disinterested glance. This can be seen in the following, in Genesis 4, 5, it means to look at with approval or to approve of. And so you enter into this scenario and you're there presenting to God, you and your brother, and God looks upon, he approves of, and has interest in Abel's offering. And if we understand the significance of this word, then that means he did not look upon, approve of, or have interest in Cain's. And let me maybe help connect a little bit more. If you're parents and you have children, let's say they both decided to paint a masterpiece, okay? Depending on the age, that masterpiece could look a little bit different, but whatever. And so they both of your children, let's just, for the sake of the story, you have two sons, and they come to you, and the one son comes, and he brings you his artwork, and you look upon it, and you love it, and you're approving of it, and you're praising, and you're like, good job, way to go. And then at the same time, the brother comes, and he's bringing the artwork to you, and in this moment, like, just think about it as a parent, that you don't even look upon what he brought. You don't even consider what he brought. You won't. And maybe it's because you know the posture of what's taking place. And so just imagine in this moment, you're looking at the one child, you're praising the one child, and you won't even acknowledge the other. What do you think your kids would do, right? Just think about, I think about some of mine, like the anger and the frustration that might come, and they might be like, look at me, what about me? You know what I'm saying? They're like, what about what I'm bringing? And then and because they see that you're putting your focus towards the other child, now they're like, well, if I get rid of that, my brother, then maybe my father will look at me. And then they begin to attack. I don't know if you've ever seen this. They're like, they're so upset that they grab the artwork and they rip it up, you know? Like, and you can kind of comprehend what's going on a little bit between these siblings, both of them desiring and wanting the approval of the father. So hopefully that helps you gain just a better understanding of this response. But the reality of this is, you know, as parents, we can't always know the posture of our children's hearts. Sometimes we can see it, right? On their mannerisms, you know, how they've been acting and stuff like that. But God does. He sees it. He knows it. He knows why Cain brought it. He knows the posture of what he was doing. And that's the reality here. And maybe, you know, for Cain, this became a chore. It became just an obligation. Maybe he was, presenting his offering for the wrong reasons. Maybe he did turn it into a competition with his brother. And due to pride, which may be a whole nother reason why he didn't have the right posture, God did not look upon Cain because the posture of his heart and mind were not in the right place. I wonder, have you ever dealt with similar feelings of not being regarded, being looked over, being looked past? You know, like who you were and what you presented wasn't even worth considering. I think I want to kind of put ourselves in Cain's shoes because I think for majority of us we've probably felt that, and it's not a good feeling, and it brings something inside of us that we don't like. But then if that's not enough, not only are you being looked over, someone else who seemingly responded the same way and is doing the same thing is being regarded. They are being looked upon. And then, if that's not enough, if there is tension at all between you and that person, guess what begins to take place? All that anger, all that frustration, all that envy, it all goes towards them. Not the person that you really need to be dealing with and talking to and saying why and understanding why, but then you just focus everything on the other person and it becomes a competition. You begin to compare and you begin to have envy. It helps us connect with Cain just a little bit more. And so Cain experiences fury and envy, and again, he comes to the conclusion to keep this from happening again. He's like, I don't ever want to feel this again. So to keep it from happening again, to be regarded by God, the only way that I can fix it is to take out the competition. Remove Abel, there are no more problems. Instead of fixing his posture and role and being disregarded, he lashes out and attacks his sibling. And maybe what began as a sibling skirmish, a verbal argument, maybe they got into a physical altercation, they were wrestling as brothers do. Maybe because Cain was so mad, so furious, because sin began to take over, in that sibling skirmish, he ended up killing his brother. You know, I just had this thought. You know, if this is the first murder that ever took place, Cain doesn't have a category for murder. You know, it's not like in his heart, he says to himself, I'm going to kill my brother. How would he know what that is? And so in one sense, I don't know that Cain actually meant to, but he did attack his brother, and it did lead to death. And then at that point, he's so deep in his sin that started with envy, that led to fury, that led to rage, that led to a physical skirmish. You get to this point where he's just like, I don't even know what to do. And his response to God is, you know, I don't know. Am I my brother? You know, he doesn't know how to respond. He doesn't know what to do. And he loses his brother. He loses that relationship. And like I said, death and loss of his relationship, it's not just with his brother, it's with his parents. And ultimately, what we read and what we learn is he is removed from the presence of God. Here's the reality. All sin destroys relationships. Envy, jealousy, and anger, they especially destroy relationships. That's what Cain experienced, and he experienced deep, deep loss of relationship. And if we don't learn to rule over envy, it will bring death to our relationships. And so, you know, we enter into these spiritual skirmishes and this fight against sin in our life, May it be envy or jealousy or fury. And that's what it does. It ends up affecting our relationships with our siblings. It could be with our parents. It could be with the spouse. It could be with a coworker. And as we enter into these things, what they experience from us as we enter into physical skirmishes, maybe it's with our words or with our actions, what it means if we get to that place, if we get to a place where we are having verbal and physical skirmishes, that means we probably lost a spiritual one in our heart and mind. And so that's really where we need to begin to look and begin to fight. And often when we allow sin to rule us, we begin to externally point and blame everyone else instead of dealing with the source of the problem. And you wanna know what the source of the problem is? It's us. It's you. It's you have to deal with it. And when we are disciplined or when we fail, or in this case, being disregarded in some way, what do? We blame shift. We begin to gossip and we begin to slander and we begin to backstab and we begin to lash out. And we begin to say things like, well, this happened because they did this. And this happened because they said that. And this happened because no one would help me. And this happened because of my parents. And this happened because of the way I was raised. And this happened because my boss didn't. And this happened because God, right? And here, look, think about Cain. If God wouldn't have disregarded me, I wouldn't have had to kill my brother. And so it's God's fault that Abel's dead. And we do that. Instead of looking inwardly and dealing with what's going on inside of us, we look outwardly. And we blame shift and we point. And we try to blame everybody else and all the other circumstances. But really the main cause, the root cause of the problem is the wrong posture in our heart and mind, leading to the wrong response. So when we deal with the spirit of envy, instead of pointing and blaming, I think we've got to come to a place and say, what was my role in what currently took place? Was my role. Not focused on what other people are getting and what other people are saying or the decision that was made. What was my role? If God didn't regard what I brought, then that means I need to work on something in me. Abel's not the problem. God's not the problem. It's me. But when we're envious of people, we tend to look at them and say, they're the problem. But really, when envy is taking place, the problem is happening within our heart, with our mind, and we have to learn to deal with that. And we're given the ways in which to do that right here in the story. If we want to combat envy, we just got to go look it back and what God said to Cain. He gave him the way out. He told him exactly what he needed to do. Verse 7, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted, leading us to believe, again, that the posture of his heart and mind in bringing the offering was not right. If you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. You do what is right, you'll be accepted, right? Or if you don't, sin will crouch and attack, and its desire is to rule over you, but God says you must rule over it. So if you don't present yourself in the right way, sin is going to enter in. And that's what took place, right? This envy came in, and God says, you gotta learn to control that and to control the fury, because if not, sin's gonna control you, control your actions, control your words, it's gonna lead to even more sin. So how do we deal with skirmishes with envy? We rule over it. And so I created a little word acronym here on how to do that. And so we're gonna look at the word rule, and I'm gonna give you a word for each thing on how we can deal with envy when it rears its ugly head in our life. So how to win the skirmish with envy, we rule over it. R, the first thing is we've gotta have the right posture of our heart and mind. Our heart and mind. It's not looking at somebody else and what they did, how they acted, how they performed, what someone said, the decision that they made. It's the right posture of our heart and mind. And then you go, okay, well, how do we determine what is right? Who is the ultimate of what is right? Is it our parents? Is it a friend? Is it my spouse? Is it my boss? Well, no one probably thinks that. Okay. The ultimate judge of what is right is God. And so we have to present our hearts and minds to him in the right manner and present. Now, I don't think it's just our heart and mind to him in the right manner. It's our work. It's our offerings. We present both of these things in the right manner. So, you know, you could have the right heart and right mind, but not bring anything to God. And that's not the right way. So it's both. So Abel brought both the right offering with the right posture. Cain seemingly brought the right offering, but didn't have the right posture. So how do we bring the right posture of our heart? How do we know how to have the right posture? If it comes from God, then that means we have to follow God's instruction, right? So you want to do what's right. You want to posture yourself with the right heart and right mind. Guess where it comes from? His word. What this says. But not just this, because it's also living in his will, what he calls you to do. And sometimes that's the harder thing. So we can look at this and say, yes, I can follow that. But then when God calls you outside of your comfort zone, when God calls you to offer grace, when God calls you to forgiveness, when God calls you to mercy, when God calls you to hold back your tongue in what you really want to say, that's a little bit harder. It's a posture of a right heart and right mind. It's understanding who God is and understanding who he calls us to be in all circumstances, whether we're regarded or not. We want to present joy and peace and encouragement and grace and forgiveness. We do that when we're wronged. We do that when we're overlooked. We do that when we're mistreated. And we continue to just posture our heart and mind to mirror God's love for us. And so that's it. We got to make sure that as we come into these scenarios, is my heart and mind postured in the right way? The next one is the you. And this one's huge, especially when it comes to envy or jealousies. We got to uplift others in their blessings. Cain was furious and envious that his offering was disregarded. But I think even more so, if you think about in sibling rivalries, he was more upset that Abel's was regarded by God. I mean, think about it. Like, if both of them were disregarded, Cain would have been like, all right, no big deal. But Abel was regarded, and Cain wasn't. And I think in order for us to quickly combat those feelings of envy and jealousy, what we have to do in that moment is turn to celebrating and being excited about the person who did receive blessing, who was regarded, right? Think about what would happen if Cain would have just lifted his little brother up and said, good job, man, way to go. And right there in that moment, the posture of his heart and mind could have shifted. And God could have said, there it is. That's what I was looking for. That's the posture that I needed. You see, to uplift others, we've got to replace envy and jealousy of them with excitement and joy for them. And you know, sometimes this is hard because we just may not agree, right? We look at the situation, we look at all the things, and we say, why do they get that? I deserve, you know, we run through this whole gamut of things, but at the end of the day, that's not up for you to decide. It's not up for you. What you get to control is how you respond to that. And if we're going to say we are followers of Jesus and we want to act like and respond like and react like Jesus, then it comes in excitement and joy for others when they are blessed. You see, the enemy lies and says we should have some say in when, how, and just what God blesses others with. But God's regard of others is out of our control. We're never going to be able to control that. We're never going to fully understand why the reason that he does things is out of our control. God's regard of us, that is in our control, right? It's the posture of our heart and our mind, and that's what we need to focus on. And so, man, I think in our lives, instead of allowing that envy and that fury and that anger to come out, we respond with joy and encouragement and excitement for that other person. And it'll change that envy from ruling over you to you ruling over it. Which kind of leads into the next one, the L. We got to learn from it. We got to learn from what led to the envy. Again, we can go like this. And we can say, well, they didn't, and they didn't, and they didn't, and he did, and she said, and We can point at all these other external circumstances and things that are going on, and maybe there is truth in some of that. But if you really want to work through this and get over this, the one place where you've got to look is right here. What can you learn from the situation that led to envy? Maybe you can say, okay, maybe there's something here that I need to learn. And maybe it's just humility. Maybe it is just learning to be joyful for the blessings of others. If that's something that you struggle with, maybe God is putting you into situations where you can get better at it. He wants you to be excited. He wants you to be happy for others. If you find that hard, then that's what you need to learn. And I think really what it is, is you begin to examine, why was there disregard? Why wasn't I looked upon? Why wasn't I approved? And this will require what I'm calling self-examination or self-confrontation of the envy. And I'm just gonna, you can run through some of these questions. And I think, again, to keep from pointing the fingers and pointing the blame and lashing out on others, you bring it back to you. And you say, well, why am I reacting or responding in this way? What led me to respond this way? How could I have better positioned my heart, thoughts, and attitude and actions leading up to this? Not just in this moment, but what took place before this moment. And maybe just, this is such a simple question. Look at the other person and say, did they knowingly or purposely set out to attack me? I mean, we look and I don't see that from Abel. Maybe, but I don't see that. It's not mentioned. And so, you know, in that moment, Cain could go, well, I'm a little bit frustrated, but I know my brother. He didn't do this to hurt me. He didn't do this to come at me. It's not on him, it's on me. And again, all it does is it brings it back to you. Then you say, this is so great too. If someone else is blessed in some way, man, what can I learn from them, right? Begin to challenge yourself in that way. And really just begin to examine both sets. We both, in Cain and Abel's story, they both brought these offerings. And Cain could have said, hey, Abel, why do you think God accepted yours and not mine? And it could have entered into what I'm gonna talk about in a minute, but that's a good question. The other one is, what is God trying to teach me? In every situation, in every scenario, you better believe God is showing you or teaching you something. He has something specifically for you. He wants to help you in some way. He wants to come alongside you and combat any of those sinful temptations that might lead to sin in your life. And right after this happened, God came alongside Cain and said, hey, listen, I hear how you're feeling and what's taking place. And he said, if you do what is right, and he's trying to let him know, you didn't do what is right, so take care of that, you'll be accepted. And let me just warn you that sin wants to rule over you. Don't let it. And God came alongside him. And so, man, in these moments when you're not sure, go to God. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Help me understand this situation. And then lastly, just look in your life. Is there another sin that is causing this envious skirmish within you? Because again, I think the posture of Cain's heart and mind was wrong even before God disregarded him. There was already something taking place. And so maybe look at the other things that are going on in your life and deal with those things that led to the envy. If you don't ever do any learning from these moments of failure, of disregard, of being looked over, of that envy, you will continue to respond negatively. It's going to lead to future skirmishes, both internally and externally. And like I said, what's going to happen is there's going to be loss of relationship, loss of something. Because again, all sin leads to death. So you will experience loss in your life. It could be a relationship, it could be your purpose, and it could lead to you to be a restless wanderer in your life as well. You want to survive these skirmishes, and we've got to learn to attack them. It's not attacking and pointing fingers at others. We attack the envy. We rule over the enemy that is within us. We choose, we don't let that rule our thoughts and emotions. We kind of just focus on the posture of our heart and our mind. So we got to do some learning when envy shows its ugly head. The last way, the E, and I kind of hinted at this one a little bit earlier, we got to engage in conversation with the person that we envy. This is going to be the hardest one. And I think from the outset, you want to lead into this the right way, you start with an apology. Whether your envy was internal or external, you felt some type of way towards that person. And maybe they didn't warrant or do anything to even have you feel that way about them. And so just go to him and say, I need to apologize. When that situation happened, I was so frustrated. I was so angry. I was so envious of you. And share with him, like, I don't believe you did anything to make me feel that way, but I want you to know this is how I felt. You start with an apology. And then you get into maybe why you felt the way that you felt. And maybe, without them even knowing it, the way they responded, the way they reacted, you took that as a personal attack, right? And they didn't even know it. And you can share that with them. And maybe, just maybe, as you share and you talk and you converse about these things, if it does come up the next time, maybe they'll be more perceptive of it and how it might affect you. And they can come alongside you and encourage you as well. And so it starts with the conversation. It starts with an apology. And then you just talk through that, enter in the conversation. And then ask them about, you know, what they did and how they got to this point. And man, if this is a family member or even a coworker or even a friend, whatever it may be, like, instead of creating distance and ruining the relationship, when you enter into that conversation, guess what's gonna happen? It'll strengthen it. And maybe, just maybe, you might find a relationship that you never thought would happen. And so it builds relationship. But again, this one's hard, but it's so important. Because the longer you let that envy fester within your heart, within your mind, the more that bitterness and resentment build up without the other person even knowing it, it will lead to death and loss of relationship. So how do we win the skirmish with envy? It's the right posture of our heart and mind. We uplift others with joy and excitement. We learn from what led to the envy, and we engage in conversation with the other person. And the reality is this, these feelings of envy, we probably already all experienced them. If we haven't yet, we probably will. And it'll probably happen again. And when envy comes, we can choose, right? We can choose to combat it. We can challenge ourselves. We can learn to be content in who we are and who God called us to be and the purpose that God gave us. And then we just learn. We learn from our failures. We learn from our shortcomings that we've had along the way. And we make sure that the posture of our heart and our mind is in the right place. I'm asked that you guys would stand as we enter into our time of prayer. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. And we think about what led to Cain feeling this way. He, in his offering, wasn't regarded by God. And so I guess I'll come to you today and I'll ask this question: is what you're offering to God worth regarding? And again, it's not about what you present. Because we all have different works, we all have different talents, we all have different giftings. We all bring different offerings to God. I guess the first thing would say, are you offering that to him? Are you offering your job? Are you offering your relationships? Are you offering your finances? Maybe you just need to deal with that. But really, when I say, is what we're offering worth regarding to God, what is the posture of your heart and mind as you enter into it? Are you doing it just to check off a box? Is it something that you want to do so you can boast in it to the people around you? Has it become a chore? Has it become an obligation? Are you entering into it? But sin is there Man, when sin is present in our lives, we got to deal with that before bringing ourselves to the Lord. And I mean, the reality of it is this, is it's not hard because we know Jesus already paid for our sins. And so what it means, especially when it comes to envy and jealousy and bitterness and resentment, what it means is we got to let it go. Just let it go. Hand it over. You want the posture of your heart and mind to be in the right place, to live for God, to serve God, to love others? Man, sin can't live there. Let it go. Is the posture of your heart and mind right? Spend some time there praying about that, really thinking about that. Here's the second thing. When you think about situations in your life, I wonder today what opportunity or what relationship has been destroyed due to the skirmish of envy in your heart and mind. And maybe today the Holy Spirit is convicting you and saying, that relationship is one I wanted for you so badly. That opportunity that I had for you, man, it was gonna be so good. And he's saying to you today, just look inwardly and say, I was the problem. And I need to apologize. And I need to be excited for that person. And I need to enter into conversation with them and just share with them what I was feeling. God wants to bring reconciliation, but you have got to take the step to do it. You gotta let go. He doesn't want us living as restless wanderers. He wants us living in relationship, right relationship with him and with others around us. God, today, thank you for opening our eyes to the posture of our heart and mind. And when we come to you, it's more than just offering something physical. You are more concerned about our heart, our mind, our soul. And so today we come before you humbly, asking you to work in us and deal with us. God, we're coming and we're releasing and we're letting go so that we can live in you and for you. And so that we can experience the beauty of relationship that you have for us here on this earth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. It's in Jesus' name, amen.